Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to Psalms chapter 3. When Pastor Daniel gave me an invitation to come, I had felt specifically immediately. Oftentimes when an invitation comes to travel and minister, I don't know how it works for everybody, but oftentimes there's a specific thing in my spirit that'll just immediately pop up. And I felt the Lord specifically say to me that on Wednesday night that we were to pray for healing. Now, it's not just that God had given me a mandate many years ago. I can only speak for myself. When I was in Bible college and God was raising me up in education, He had already called me to preach. And as I was reading the Gospels and when Jesus sent out His disciples and then He sent out 70 more, He gave them a command. He said, whatever city or village you enter into, He said, heal the sick. Someone say, heal the sick. That was the mandate that Christ had given. And when I read that, it was like, have you ever read the Bible and it's like just, it pops off the pages and it just smacks you right dead in the spirit, you know? That was one of those moments, and I heard the Lord say to me that wherever you go, son, I always want you to pray for the sick and believe me for miracles. Why is that? Because God, let me say this to you tonight, God loves you. His mercy's so good. His grace is so good. And by His grace, by His mercy, by His compassion, by His great love for you through Jesus Christ, He has paved a way through the cross that we can find healing and we can find life and we can find joy and peace again. How many know when a body is physically ill or maybe they're struck with some kind of disease, there's no peace in that. There's no joy in that. Oftentimes, I've found over the years, as you pray for the sick, what grips them the most is fear. Fear of what this disease is going to bring them. Fear of their tomorrow. But I came to tell you tonight that my God is so good that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, to rise from the grave, and His body was torn that we might be healed. Can you say amen? Psalms 103, verse 1 through 5 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Someone say, forget not. All of His benefits. Now, before I read some of these benefits, that Hebrew word, it literally means compensation. It means reward given from that which was lost. And it also means something that is directly dealt from the hand of God. The benefits of God, something that comes from God's hand. If you came to receive from my hand, you're probably going to get a bad deal. But if you came tonight to receive from God's hand and to receive from the promises of God and the blessings of God, I tell you tonight, He will not disappoint. So may we not forget all of His benefits. The Bible says, who forgives all of your iniquities. Not some. All. There's not one power of sin, not one ounce of sin that makes it through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's not one curse of sin that makes it through the blood of Jesus Christ. He has annihilated sin on the cross. You are free. You are forgiven. You are a son. You are an heir. You are an heir of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Co-heir with Christ. Because of the benefits of the cross. Some will say, all my iniquities. And who heals. Not some. Not just the little things. Not just the sniffles. He heals all of our diseases. That means osteoporosis has to go. That means arthritic conditions get, come on somebody. They bow at the name of Jesus. We have benefits. And these things come directly from the mighty hand of God because, friend, you need a revelation tonight of His love. I sense that in my spirit. You need a revelation of His love. God is love. The Father loves you. I said the Father loves you. I'm going to say it again because it's in my spirit. The Father loves you. And He has good things for you. He's a good God. And He wants to pour out blessing upon you. He wants to forgive you of all your sins. He wants to heal you from all of your diseases. One of the biggest problems that people have is they don't believe that God can heal them. They don't believe that God will heal them. They don't believe that God sees them. I tell you, there's not one hair on your head that God doesn't see you. He knows your name tonight. He knows exactly what you're going through, and He will meet your faith as you respond to Him this evening in Jesus' mighty name. Who redeems your life from destruction? You may come in tonight with a bad report. You may have come in tonight with destruction that has been declared over your life. But I tell you tonight that His benefit says He will redeem you. He will redeem your life from destruction. He will crown you with His loving kindness, His tender mercies. And it'll satisfy your mouth with good things. That means when the mighty hand of God comes down and He touches you and He heals you, He satisfies your mouth with the good things. You go out praising God. Hallelujah. You don't go out with fear any longer of what tomorrow may bring. You go out with the touch of God knowing, hallelujah, that your tomorrow is better than when you came in tonight. And He's going to put a word of praise in your mouth. A word of thanksgiving in your mouth. He's going to put a little dance in your feet, a little sway in your hips. Glory to God. He's going to give you something to shout about. That's the God that I serve. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Just last week, I met a sister of a friend who is a part of our church in Nome, and she looks at me, and my wife was standing, she goes, "How old are you to be a pastor anyway?" I said, "I've been doing this almost 20 years. She goes, "No way." And I told her, your youth is renewed like the eagles. Can you say hallelujah? The Bible says goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of your life. With long life, He will satisfy you. Aren't you thankful for the promises of God? And I want to give you just tonight, just very quickly, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time because we want to pray for the sick tonight. And the elders of the church and those who are here as a prayer team, they're going to help pray tonight as well. Specifically, I felt the Lord say to do something, and we'll do it at the end. And we're going to also give an opportunity, if you're not right with God, as we always do, to get right with Jesus Christ. But once we get into this tonight, I'm going to give you three simple keys to divine healing. Three simple keys to receive divine healing in your life. Number one is knowledge and faith must come together. Let me say that again. Knowledge and faith must come together in your life. 100% of the time, we know that faith is the master key that unlocks the kingdom of heaven. We know that it's by our faith we receive things from the mighty hand of God. How many know that without faith, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to Him must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Faith is the pipeline in which we receive from the mighty hand of God. So we know 100% of the time, faith is the master key to miracles, signs, wonders, the gifts of healings, all of those things. You say, well, my measure of faith is a little low tonight. Then earnestly desire the best of the gifts. And 1 Corinthians 12 says that there is a gift of faith. And ask Him for the gift of faith that He'll put on the inside of you to where you can begin to believe God for these things. Can you say praise the Lord? But knowledge and faith must come together in your life. One of the main reasons, once again, I don't claim to know everything. In fact, the older I get in ministry, the more humility that comes into my life. And I look back and I say, God, how foolish I was 10 years ago to do those stupid things. Pastor Barry's laughing. I mean, we look back on our years of ministry and go, I can't believe Pastor Daniel even let me preach here 10 years ago. You know, like, and then I look today and it's like, man, it just brings a sense of humility into your life. So I don't claim to know everything, But I can tell you one thing. One of the main reasons that I have discovered, once again, God set me on a track for divine healing early. He birthed it into the ministry. In fact, the first message I ever preached, ever, God called me to preach. The first message I ever preached was the atonement, salvation and healing. The first message. And I didn't think anybody got healed. And there was a woman sitting in the congregation. And she said, I came in and I had strep throat and my sinuses have been infected. She said, but while you were preaching, she said, it was like a hand came on me and just pulled it right out of my body. So I don't claim to know everything, but one thing I've discovered is one of the main reasons that Christians struggle to receive the gift of healing in their bodies is because they have a lack of knowledge of simple Bible truth concerning divine healing. Or they've been taught something contrary to the Word of God. And some of that needs to get unraveled, possibly. Is this okay? A lack of Bible knowledge on the subject alone of divine healing, that alone has the power to keep you sick, to keep you in disease, and to keep you in infirmity. Just a simple lack of knowledge, just not having knowledge of simple Bible truth on divine healing actually is enough to keep you struggling with disease year after year, sickness year after year, and it's like another layer of hardship in your body. And just what you really need to do is come under some simple teaching of divine healing. And one of the best things you can do is pick up some good books like Healing the Sick by T.L. Osborne. Or pick up Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. I mean, I recommend, and I know your pastor would recommend those books as well. Good stuff. Just simple Bible teaching. The Bible says in Hosea 6, listen to this. My people are destroyed. My people are what? For a lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge. A lack of simple Bible knowledge on the subject can actually bring destruction and struggle into your life. Now, Genesis chapter 1, and I'm just going to read it, you can turn there quickly. Genesis chapter 1, you say, well, why are we going to Genesis? Because Genesis 1 gives us a key here. In the beginning, Genesis 1, 1 through 4, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without void and darkness. Someone say darkness. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and God said, someone say God said it. Someone say God decreed it. Say God gave a word. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and he said it was good. Now listen to this. God divided the light from the darkness. What was on the face of the deep? Someone say darkness. Here's a very interesting thing about Genesis 1. That Hebrew word, darkness, it does not mean the scary things that go bump in the night. It does not mean an evil presence or fear. Darkness literally translates obscurity, death, and one of the translations, don't miss this, ignorance. Ignorance. And God steps in and he brings light with his word. And that word light in the Hebrew is bright, clear, morning, sun, or illumination. Someone say illumination. So what the Bible calls darkness in the very beginning is that which is void of illumination. Are you starting to catch this now? Darkness in the Bible from the beginning was that which was void of illumination. And when God's word came, and when God spoke and he said, let there be light, God's word drove out ignorance. God's word brought illumination into the earth. Are you catching what I'm pitching, church? We need a healthy dose of knowledge of God's word if we're going to receive physical healing and life into our bodies. Because where God's word goes, illumination comes and it drives out ignorance. Now, just in the natural realm alone, why do you think the devil has worked triple time, not overtime, he's working triple time to dumb down our society? He's working overtime. I'm not here to attack the educational system, but wake up. It's a train wreck. All you parents are like, that's right. I mean, the truth is, not every teacher, but we've got teachers, they don't give a rip. Some do, some don't. But the whole educational system in America, it's an absolute train wreck right now. Why do you think that is? Because the devil knows that if he can keep a generation ignorant, and if he can keep a generation uneducated, if he can keep a generation out of knowledge, he can keep a generation in darkness. Look at your neighbor and say, this is good preaching. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The enemy of your soul understands that a lack of knowledge alone has the power to keep you in bondage, has the power to keep you in darkness, and has the power to ultimately bring destruction into your life. Proverbs 4:5 says, and it's with an exclamation point, get wisdom. Get understanding. Friend, get the word of God in your spirit. Get the promises of God. I know we're praying for the sick and I'm kind of speaking on divine healing, but there are far more promises for your life than outside of divine healing. And as long as you stay ignorant and as long as you have a lack of knowledge of God's word, you will remain in darkness. You will remain in obscurity from the promises of God. And all that God wants to do is say, let there be light into your spirit, man. Let the word of God come into your life and let the power and the promises of God be revealed and made manifest. Can somebody say amen tonight? Amen. You hear the word darkness. What's those things in the night? That scary thing. No. Darkness biblically is ignorance. But when the word came, it drove out ignorance. And God divided light from darkness. God's word brings an illumination, and God's word brings a separation from darkness. Faith, and we know, once again, I said it in the beginning, faith is the pipeline in which miracles and the manifestation of the kingdom of heaven touches this earth. I mean, when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we pray by faith. Lord, let heaven come down. Hallelujah. I know there's no sickness in heaven. There's no disease in heaven. We pray for heaven to come down and we pray by faith. Well, faith comes, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. That word of God in the Greek is the rhema word of God. And it literally means this, that which has been uttered by a living voice. That's what rhema means. Faith comes how? That which has been uttered by a living voice. The word of God, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is living, powerful, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates to the division of the soul and of the spirit and of the bone and of the marrow. The word of God touches every aspect of your body, your mind, and your spirit. It touches the total man. And God gave us the living, decreed word of God. When he said in the beginning, let there be light, his decreed word drove out ignorance, and the light of God came in. Hallelujah. And when you pick up the Bible, you pick up the Holy Scriptures, and you begin to read the word of God for yourself, oh, friend, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But when you let knowledge and faith come together in your life, that is when you'll begin to receive all that God has for you. Can you say amen? Amen. Because then faith will come alive. The truth bomb tonight is this, that if the devil can keep you busy and keep you distracted to where you have no time to invest your life in God's word, then he will keep you in darkness. He will keep you in bondage. He will keep you in all kinds of sickness and disease and oppression. If he can get you to a place where you say, well, I'm just too busy for church. Forget church for a moment. I'm just too busy to pray. I'm just too busy to pick up the word. I've got a lot going on. If he can keep you just busy and distracted, he will keep you from receiving the knowledge and the illumination that you need to receive all of the spiritual blessings he has reserved for you to come on down from heaven. Biblical literacy alone, just biblical literacy, just reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, that alone has the power to bring prosperity and blessing in every area of your life. Joshua 1:8. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is in it. For then, someone say for then, you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Just Bible literacy alone, just biblical literacy, just picking up the Bible, just reading the Bible, just getting the knowledge and the understanding of what God has desired for your life will actually cause you to prosper and walk in success in everything that you do. How many know when you're bound with sickness and disease, you're not prospering? But when you pick up the Word of God and you begin to discover who God is and how good He is and how much He... Oh, I'm preaching myself half drunk in the Holy Ghost right now. How good He is. And you begin to read and discover the decreed Word of God. Light comes, illumination comes, ignorance and darkness gets driven out, and then faith comes and you begin to receive all that God has for you. A new survey came out just recently that in 2021 it found that less than 11% of all Americans read the Bible daily. Trends in Bible reading habits for the last 4 years has shown that the majority of Americans never read their Bible. Just in the last 4 years, this just came out literally about 2 weeks ago. And the last statistic they gave is that the majority of all millennials have never read the Bible. I mean, forget the educational system. We have an entire generation that has never read truth. How are we going to shake a nation? How are we going to shake this state for the glory of God if Christians aren't even reading truth? If Christians aren't even driving out ignorance in their own life? If we don't take part in this and we don't put it in our own practice, in our own lives, how are we ever going to drive ignorance out of this next generation? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Information then becomes revelation, and revelation will then always lead to a divine manifestation. Ephesians 1:8, this is my prayer tonight. The Apostle Paul's prayer is this. He said, I pray, Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, it may be illuminated, so that you will know, someone say know, what is the hope of his calling. Here it is. Know what? And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Hallelujah. Paul was praying, I pray your spirit man, your heart gets illuminated with the light of God's word. I pray that his word will speak into your spirit so that you can have the knowledge and you can have the understanding of what God said he'll do for you. Hallelujah. And then you can receive the precious inheritance that's in the saints. See, do you realize healing's already in you? The kingdom is within you. Do you realize the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and it shall give life to your mortal body? But until you get that knowledge and until you get that revelation, you'll never walk in the manifestation. My prayer is the Apostle Paul's prayer. Colossians 1:9. We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled, not with the Holy Ghost and power. He says that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. My prayer for you in Colossae, he's praying. My prayer for you is that you will be filled. We all want to get filled. We all want the Holy Ghost. We all want the goosebumps. But his prayer was that you would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And he says, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That understanding is when it becomes illuminated in your life. I can preach to you all day, Jesus wants to heal your body. I can preach to you all day, he died on the cross, rose from the grave. His body was broken that we might be healed. I can tell you by his stripes we are healed. Until you get that understanding and that revelation in your spirit, faith can't come alive. It has to come alive in you, friend. You have to get to a place. I've been preaching in Eagle River as well, and I kind of been letting them know. I'm not so sure the church is ready for the things that are coming down the line. You have to start getting to a place where you're not just leaning on sugar daddy of a pastor somewhere who's just going to give you everything. Just, oh, I need his hands laid on me. I'll be all right. No, you've got to get the will of God in your spirit. You've got to get the illumination of God's word that comes alive in you. So you can stand in this last day, in this last hour, as a mighty soldier for Jesus Christ. Praise God. Look at your neighbor and say, this is a good word. The best prescription that I can give you concerning divine healing is an inoculation of God's holy word. The second key to divine healing, the first key is knowledge and faith have to come together. Have to come together. The second key is you must know your God. And there's only one way that you'll know your God. In his spoken, decreed word. Once again, as a pastor, I certainly don't know everything. But I've noticed something over the years. You have to be very, very careful in what you listen to, number one. But if you're not careful, even certain spirit-filled Pentecostal circles, if you're not careful, they can present God like he's bipolar. I'm just being real with you. You have to be very careful what you receive and what you listen to. If you think I'm crazy on this, I'll just tell you this. And if my wife's watching, God bless you. I love you, babe. It was many years ago. We were in a conference, in a pastor's conference somewhere, out of state somewhere. And the person that was speaking presented God to be bipolar. Well, sometimes he heals and sometimes he doesn't. And my wife texts me. And I look down on my phone. We're about like 5 minutes into this conference setting. She goes, have you heard enough yet? Are you done? And before I could reply, and there's many, many people in this room, and we're like on the other side from the exit, you know what I mean? And before I can even reply to my text, she's walking across, and I have to go chase her down. She's out of there, man. God is not bipolar. He's not happy to heal you one day, and the next day he's, well, a little depressed and doesn't feel like getting off his throne and helping you. Exodus 15:26. Let's just settle this right now. Can we settle it right now? Let's just settle it once and for all in your spirit. God said, I am. And when he said, I am, he meant every word of it. I am the Lord who heals you. Can we keep settling it? Malachi 3:6, I am. When he said, I am, he meant every word of I am. I am the Lord, and I do not change. So if I'm the Lord who heals you, and I'm the Lord who doesn't change, How many know he's not a God who's bipolar and forgot about who he is? He's still a God who sits on the throne and on the circle of the earth and knows every hair on your head, who loves you with an everlasting love and made a way in his covenant for you to be healed, whole, and satisfied with good things. Hallelujah. I don't know what circles, what book they're reading, but they need an illumination. Some may think I'm crazy and, you know, my hair's on fire and, you know, he's just a wild one. No, I just have some illumination in my spirit of who the God is that I serve. Friend, if you're going to receive from the promises of God, you have to know your God. Not what somebody else tells you. You've got to be like the Bereans who go out and study it for themselves, who pick up the word of God and say, that's a good word, but I'm going to go seek it out for myself. I'm going to drive out all kinds of ignorance out of my life. I'm going to get some knowledge from God. I'm going to get filled with knowledge of his will so I know how to pray, so I know what to receive. My God, are you here tonight? James 1:17, let's settle it. Every good, someone say good, and perfect gift comes down from God our Father, who created all the lights in heaven. He never changes nor casts shifting shadows. He's not over here saying, here's a gift, here's your healing. Oh, never mind. No, he is exactly who he says he is. And you will never discover who God is until you pick up the decreed word and let the light and the illumination and that living rhema word get alive in your spirit, man, that builds faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. So God never changed his mind when he gave his only son to die for sickness, disease, and to break the back of poverty as well, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the children of God. Maybe nobody's ever told you you can be blessed and prosper in this world. I'll tell you tonight. Go seek it for yourself. Read Galatians chapter 3. Get the illumination in your spirit that you have been given the blessing of Abraham. Amen? Faith for healing, faith for miracles, faith for the manifestation of God's power in your life. It can only come alive when you know who God is. So my prayer tonight is, may the eyes of your heart be enlightened of the nature of God. I love this. Hebrews 1:3 says that Christ, being the brightness of God's glory and the expressed image of his person. You say, Pastor, how could I really know who God is? Let me give you the best way you can know who God is and you can know what his will is. How many know it's important we know God's will, right? One of the best ways you can know who God is and know his will is by Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that Christ is the expressed image of the Father. What that means is, the entire time that Jesus was on this earth, everything that he did was in the perfect will of God. Everything he did, casting demons out, cleansing lepers, healing the sick, opening blind eyes, come on, cripples dancing and walking, raising the dead, that's my God. Casting out deaf and dumb spirits. All the wonderful things that Jesus did. Everything he did was in the perfect will of the Father. You say, well, how can I know what the will of the Father is? How can I know what the will of God is? Just be a student and study the life, the miracles, and the workings of Jesus through the Gospels. Take the time and go through the Gospels and just read everything that Jesus did. And everything you see him do, that is who God is. That is his perfect will for your life and for my life, for our families and our homes, for our state, for our city. It's the perfect will of the Father, because Christ is the expressed image of God. When it came to sickness and disease, even a leper came to Jesus in Matthew 8, verse 2 through 3, and he says, Jesus, if you're willing, you know what that is? What is your will, Jesus, for my leprosy? He said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus put his hand on him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I love that Jesus put his hand on the leper because the leper was never to be touched. It just shows you the compassion and the mercy of our God to touch the untouchable. Someone say, that's my God. Jesus touches the untouchable. Immediately the leprosy is cleansed, but just before they says, Jesus, if you're willing, you could clean me. Jesus said, I am willing. Let this illumination get in your spirit tonight. Later in Matthew 8, as Jesus is on this healing mission, when evening had come, the Bible says they brought more to him. They brought many to Jesus who were demon-possessed. He cast out the spirits with one word, and he healed all. Someone say everyone. He healed all that were sick that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying he himself, Jesus, has taken our infirmities and he bore our sickness. Friend, when he said it is finished, he meant every word. It is finished. By his stripes we are healed. Past tense. It's already been done. It's already been finished. You just got to get the word in your spirit. You've got to let the word come alive and become illumination. Hallelujah. You got to get filled with all knowledge and understanding of who God is, what Jesus paid for. And when that happens, your faith comes alive and you reach out and you touch the hem of his garment and you receive all that he has for you. Someone say, he healed everyone. Christ never turned the sick away. Never. You never find the will of God for sickness and disease. He is the expressed image of the Father. He never turned one sick person away that came to him. Never. Christ never left anyone sick who he personally touched. And Christ always healed everyone who came to him by faith. You cannot find any other story in the Bible. It's not there. You'll never find. You can read the entire Bible. You'll never find where Jesus turned somebody away and said, well, you know, it's for them, but it's not for you. I'm sorry. You just have to go and deal with it. God's trying to teach you something. There's a lesson in all of this. Now, Jesus demonstrated exactly who God is. For I am the Lord who heals you. And Christ demonstrated it. Christ didn't present God as some bipolar God who can't figure out what he's doing. God knows exactly who he is. He's just waiting for you to discover it. And lastly, and we're going to pray, you must follow simple biblical instructions. Specifically, when it comes to sickness and disease, infirmity in your body, you must follow specific biblical instructions. And the book of James gives this to us in James chapter 5, verse 15. Actually, let's pick up 14. Is anyone among you sick? I'll stop here for a moment because I was just praying today and I was thinking, you know, the Bible says we look through a glass dimly. We don't know everything, right? Well, everything will be revealed in eternity, but on this side of heaven, we truly don't know everything. Sometimes things are a mystery with God, right? And I thank God. I was just thanking the Lord today. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't make sickness and you didn't make disease a mystery. You didn't make your healing a mystery for us to try to figure out. Thank you, God, that you gave the church simple Bible instructions on how to be healed. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. And this is why we're calling for the elders tonight. And this is why those who have been designated by kings to be prayer warriors and altar workers, they're going to help us pray tonight. Because we're to call forth the elders of the church, let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And it's the prayer of faith that will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Someone say, will. It doesn't say the prayer of faith might save the sick. It doesn't say that God's still trying to figure out what he's doing with the sick. The prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. Come on, just thank him that he will do it. Well, what's the will of God for sickness? He will heal the sick. He will raise them up. I'm not mad at you. I'm just driving it into your spirit. here's a portion we don't talk a whole lot about. If he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your sins or your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Simple Bible instructions begin with calling for the elders of the church. Now, why do we call for the elders of the church? Because Matthew 18, 19, Jesus said, if two can just agree on earth on any certain thing, it shall be done. There's power, number one, in agreement. But why the elders of the church? Because the elders of the church, don't miss this, they already know the will of God. I'm going somewhere with this. Some of you are like, well, I know some pastors that don't. We'll get to that in a moment. They already know the will of God. They're already full of the Holy Spirit. They're already full of faith, they believe. And they're already living righteously. And if they're not, find elders that are. And I'm here to tell you, I know this house of worship. I know your pastor. I trust the elders of this house. I trust them to pray the prayer of faith over me. How about you? Thank you for all those amens. Praise the Lord. But if you're here tonight as a guest and you're sitting under a ministry where your pastor doesn't know how to pray by faith, he doesn't know the will of God for sickness and disease, find a pastor, find a covering, find elders who are full of the Holy Ghost, full of the fire of God, who know how to tell you what's coming out of your body, not what's in your body, but what's coming out in Jesus' name. Thank God for kings in Wasilla who know how to pray the prayer of faith. Because 1 John 5, 14 through 15 says this. This is the confidence that we have in Christ, in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. What does God hear? Anything according to His will. And as long as Christians choose to stay ignorant to the things of the Scriptures and the things of God's Word, they'll continue to walk in destruction and bondage, depression, pain after pain, and sorrow after sorrow. But once they pick up the will of God, which is His Word, and they begin to devour it for themselves, and stop making religion just some form of godliness, but making it a lifestyle, and following Jesus daily, and reading the Word daily, and discovering the will of God. When that happens, and when they pray according to that will, God then hears them and responds and gives them just what they need. Can you say amen? Amen. We anoint with oil, and Pastor Barry, if there's not any oil here, find some. We're going to anoint with oil tonight. And the anointing of oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and don't miss this, and we're going to close right now. Symbol of the Holy Spirit and a symbol of consecration. Now, this is a side that we don't talk a whole lot about, and I could actually probably preach a whole message on it, but I'm not going to. The Bible says to confess your sins. Someone say confess. Doesn't say conceal, it says reveal. I know a lot of Christians say, well, God knows my heart. God knows I've asked for forgiveness. God knows. I'm going to tell you something. I've had Christians walk out of meetings. I've had Christians leave the church because I said what I'm about to say right now. The truth is, sin is a spiritual power. And that power of sin opens a door to sickness, disease, and death. Romans 6 says it very clearly. The wages of sin is death. I've had people walk out of meetings and write me later and talk to me later and say, how dare you say I'm sick because I'm in sin? I never said that. I just said it could be that sin. It was at the pool of Bethsaida in John 5. Jesus himself healed the lame man at the pool of Bethsaida. His exact words were to that lame man, go and sin no more, lest something greater come upon you. Sin is a spiritual power that will always produce death, decay and corruption, even in your physical body. That's why James 5 gives us the prescription, gives us simple Bible instructions on how to be healed. We don't just call for the elders and just have them pray for us. If there's sin in your life, I don't care how big it is, I don't care how ugly it is, I don't care how embarrassing it is, you confess it, the Bible says. The Bible says get it out in the open, expose it so the light of Jesus can come in, so God can heal. Hallelujah. He can only heal what's revealed. Come on, somebody. True story. I can tell you story after story after story. I've been doing this a while now. I've preached healing a long time. I'll never forget, the first time I saw this was in Massachusetts on the East Coast. I was preaching. And this woman got in the healing line and we were praying. And I went to stretch out my hand and pray for her, and it was like I hit a physical brick wall. I couldn't move my hand. I couldn't get my hand on her. And here's a dear woman, probably in her 60s. I'll never forget it. This is probably almost 17, 18 years ago. I don't know, a long time ago. She's crippled. Hands, rheumatoid arthritis, this entire crippling disease in her body, hunched over like this. And I go to, I mean, my heart wants to see her healed. And I go to pray for her. A second time, and I hit a brick wall. Third time, I could not. The Lord forbid me to lay hands on her. Not knowing what to do, I was wise enough at that point, and I said, church, just bow your heads for a moment. Let's just, come on, let's just call on the name of the Lord. We need him this morning. And I just stopped Pastor Brad. I said, Lord, what's going on right now? I need to hear from you. What's happening? And the Lord spoke to me. He says, she's bound with bitterness. I can't heal her. So I just kindly leaned in. I said, ma'am, the Lord revealed to me, he said to me that you're bound with bitterness and that he can't heal you unless you forgive and you let go and let God heal that. She said to me, she said, now she was in her 60s. I'll never forget this. And I, by the way, I've seen this many times, more than I can count, that sin of the heart, hidden areas of the heart, when they don't get revealed, it opens the door to sickness, disease, demonic activity, all kinds of things. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, lest you give the devil a foothold. I didn't get too many amens on that. And when I said to her, I said, ma'am, the Lord shows me bitterness. She said to me, now remember, she's in her 60s. When I was 8 years old, this man did things to me, and she began to speak about what he had done. And she had been hanging on to it since 8 years old, and she's in her 60s, of just trauma, of abuse. I said, well, ma'am, are you willing to forgive today and let that go and give it to Jesus? She said, yes. I led her in a prayer of just forgiving the one who had hurt her. I didn't even get to pray healing for her, Pastor Barry. I didn't even get to rebuke the spirit of infirmity. Instantly, her body began to snap, just straightened up, hands loosened, and she was immediately made whole by the power of Jesus Christ without any prayer. Just confession of her trespass, just confession of her sin, opened the door then for the Spirit of God to move.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.